Old Path, where the good way is. Timeless truth from the Bible, Christian teaching, thought and meditations from prior times, read by missionary to Africa, James Robinet.
Father and Son Agree by Peter Bolkele, 1583 through 1659. That there is a covenant between the Father and the Son concerning our salvation, I willingly grant and shall open and confirm by Scripture. The whole business of our salvation was first transacted between the Father and Christ before it was revealed to us. Hence we are said to be given unto Christ, John 17, verses 6 and 10, as if the Father should say to the Son, "These I take to be vessels of mercy, and these thou shalt bring unto me, for they will destroy themselves, but thou shalt save them out of their lost estate." And then the Son takes them at his Father's hand and looks at his Father's will, John 6, verses 37 through 39. He takes care that none be lost of them that his Father has given him. This covenant is expressed in Scripture, first on the Father's part. 1. There is a designation and appointment of Christ the Son to the office of mediator to be a means of bringing us back to God and into a covenant with Him. Hence, Christ is said to be sealed by the Father, John 6, verse 27, as marked out for such a purpose, 1 Peter 1, verse 18. He was ordained in the counsel of the Father before the foundation of the world. Hence, He is also said to be chosen of the Father, Isaiah 42, verse 1, noting out His designation to this work. 2. There is a commandment from the Father to the Son, which he must submit unto and obey, thereby to effect the salvation of his people. As the prophet of the church, he had a commandment what to teach and instruct them in, John 12, verse 49. He had a commandment to enlighten the elect with the knowledge of the truth, Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7, to be a light to the Gentiles, to open their eyes, etc. He also had a commandment to lay down his life for those that are given unto him, John 10, verse 18, and to be tender over the lambs, carrying them in his bosom, Isaiah 40, verse 11. There is a promise from the Father to the Son, that is, the Father covenants with him. He will give him the Spirit in an abundant measure. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, Isaiah 42, verse 1. He gives a promise of assistance and help in this great work of our redemption. I will hold your hand, Isaiah 42, verse 6. What is the meaning of that? God says of Cyrus, "Whose right hand I have holden," that is, I have strengthened him to conquer the nations, see Isaiah 45, verse 1. So God promised that he would hold the hand of Christ. Though he met with strong oppositions, yet the Father would so strengthen him with his power that he should not be discouraged, Isaiah 42, verse 4. He gives a promise of blessed success that he shall not labor in vain. He shall see his seed, Isaiah 53:10. The sufferings of Christ were as a woman with child. Though she suffers many pains, yet she sees her child at last. So shall Christ see many blessings, many believing on his name, Isaiah 55, verse 5. They are the words of promise made by the Father to the Son, that nations that know him not should run to him. He gives a promise of rule and dominion, that he shall have dominion over all those that are saved by him. This sovereignty and rule is promised to him in Isaiah 40, verse 10. The Lord Christ shall come with power, and his arm shall rule for him, and Isaiah 42, 4. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law to submit themselves unto it. Thence it is said in Micah 4, verse 3, "And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations," that is, rule order, command, and direct as judge and ruler among his people, the which promise is now accomplished, all judgment being committed to the Son, John 5, verse 22. He gives a promise of glory to follow, and that first to Christ himself, and then to the members of Christ, to Christ himself. Nations that knew you not shall run to you because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Isaiah 55, verse 5. They are the words of God the Father to Christ the Son, promising to him glory, such glory as should make the nations of the world run to him. So also to the members of Christ, there is a promise of glory unto them, which promise was made known to Christ from the beginning. Christ brings out that secret out of the bosom of the Father and reveals it to his disciples. It is, says he, your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12, verse 32. Christ knew the Father's will by the covenant passing between the Father and him, and this will of the Father concerning the glory promised to them, Christ does bring forth to light. Thus we see there is a covenant on the Father's part. Now see it on Christ's part. There is an acceptance of the office to which he was designed by the Father. He did not take the office of mediator unto himself, but first the Father called him unto it, then the Son accepted it and says, lo, I come. Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8. There is a promise on Christ's part to depend and trust upon the Father for help, according to the promise made by the Father. Thus, in Hebrews 2, verse 13, the apostle brings in Christ, promising confidence and a fiance in the Father. I will put my trust in him. And Isaiah brings him in as looking for help from God. For the Lord God will help me. Though I have many against me, men and devils, yet the Lord will help me. Isaiah 50, verses 7 through 9. He promises to wait upon his Father for support and strength, whereto he also agrees in Isaiah 49, verse 5, my God shall be my strength. A promise of submission to his Father's will in bearing the reproaches and injuries that should be done unto him, and to lay down his life for those that were given to him by the Father, Isaiah 50, verses 5 and 6. And according to all this that Christ has covenanted with the Father, he was careful to discharge the same, John 17, verses 4 through 6. According to all this covenant passed between the Father and Christ, Christ expects the glory that was promised to him and to his members, to himself. And now, O Father, glorify me with your own glory, with the glory which I had with you before the world was, John 17, verse 5. And to his members, Father, I will that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world, John 17, verse 24. He expects the accomplishment of both from the Father. Thus far, then, I grant a covenant between God the Father and Christ. Hence, it is that God is called the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1, 3, which is by reason of the covenant between them.